This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Giants Radio Network. Monday Night Football last night. Two games. The Giants upset the Packers 24-22. Tommy Cutlets leads the Giants to a three-game
Tommy Cutlets,
winning streak. He was great.
Three-game winning streak.
You happy about that or not happy about that?
Well, I'm not. I'm two minds about it, but I wanted the higher draft pick just because Daniel Jones represents the definition of average for the foreseeable future at the position.
That's an expensive average.
It is an expensive average, but it's hard to have sustained success in this league when you have an average quarterback that's injury prone. And that's what we've seen from Daniel Jones through his first 4 years in the National Football League.
Are you 100% sure Tommy Cutlets can't be the guy?
I don't think he's going to be the starter. He might have an opportunity to be a very nice bridge. And I think Tommy DeVito will be around long term. I'm serious about this. I believe that Tommy DeVito will be in the Giants organization longer than Daniel Jones will.
But are you sure he can't be the starting quarterback moving forward? I mean, he has shown some poise. He certainly energized this team. It's resulting in wins.
So he's the Giants' version of Brock Purdy?
Maybe he is.
I'm not gonna take it off the board, but the fact that Adam Schefter had to report that before Monday Night Football that said the Giants are doing due diligence on this class of quarterbacks tells me that they don't have that conviction on Tommy Cutlets being the guy long term. So I'm just taking my cues from Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. Sure. But I do like what I've seen from Tommy DeVito. Think about this. 3-game winning streak, Daniel Jones being the quarterback that's been in this organization for 5 years now. He's had, what, two stretches where he's won three straight games in his entire career? Two. So, I mean, Tommy DeVito is showing Giants fans something that we're not used to seeing from our quarterback play over the last half decade. So, good on him for being able to pull that off. But long term, what it does for the organization and what it means for the draft pick, I don't feel great about that.
Let me paint the Tommy DeVito long term picture off of what you're saying. Here's what needs to happen for Tommy DeVito. Being a starter, not in his best interest. He needs to be a backup for the New York Giants for the next 10 years. He needs to then be the color analyst on the Giants broadcast after that. He needs to open an Italian restaurant 5 minutes from the stadium where they have Monday night radio shows talking about the Giants with Michelle's future kids, Canty's future kids, and my kids as the hosts. That's what he needs to be, a Giant for life. Being a starter does not allow this guy to be a Giant for life. I'm telling you right now, this guy is in the best case situation. He needs to just be a part of this franchise for as long. He's Herb Williams with the Knicks. He's been a part of the Knicks for 100 years. Tommy DeVito is made to be with the Giants organization, as CeCe said. Not necessarily on the field as the starting quarterback. Just saying.
No, he made some great plays last night. I mean, the run that he had to set up the one-yard touchdown run for Saquon Barkley was phenomenal. That's off of the zone read. I mean, the throw that he had to Isaiah Hodgins in the corner of the end zone, in the red zone, that's a great play. And then the dime that he put on Wandale Robinson in the last 2 minutes of the game to set up the go-ahead points was another great play. The dude just makes plays. So what he lacks in physical abilities, he makes up for with the intangibles, and you're seeing everybody around him respond to that. Now, I think one of the unsung heroes for this 3-game win streak that the Giants are on is defensive coordinator Wink Martindale.
Yes.
We got to start giving him a lot of love. This marks 4 straight games where the Giants have won the turnover battle. Multiple takeaways. That has been the catalyst. Getting extra possessions in short fields for your backup quarterback goes a long ways to being able to find yourself on the right side of these types of games against playoff-worthy teams. So, Wink Martindale, I think he's got to be around long term. He said as much. Now, we'll see what happens because we've gotten reports that him and Brian Daboll aren't seeing eye to eye. But whatever Brian Daboll has against Wink Martindale, he needs to figure that out. Because the reason that they're in this position right now and that this team did not absolutely collapse is because of what the guys have done on the defensive side of the ball.
The flip side of this last night, bad loss for Green Bay. They're a young football team. They're going to have that hiccup. Last night was a bad hiccup. Jordan Love did not look good, specifically in the first half. They did take a lead late, but they blew their lead, obviously, when the Giants drove down at 22-21 Green Bay. And a bad loss for the Green Bay Packers. 6-7 on the year. Their schedule is in their favor. I oddly don't worry about them the rest of the season because I still think they are pacing towards a great place of potentially making the playoffs still, potentially finishing with a better record this year with Jordan Love than they did last year with Aaron Rodgers. So I still think Green Bay is heading in the right direction. The other game last night with Miami and Tennessee, CeCe, I know the thing that bugs you the most about this is Tua, because we saw last night, and I'll be the first to admit that I was wrong. I thought Tua was more valuable for this team than Tyreek Hill. Dead wrong on that. Tyreek Hill gets banged up last night. It was ugly offensively.
Yeah, I don't know that you ever said that. I thought you said that you'll never take a position player over a quarterback.
Yes.
Just because of the value proposition with quarterback.
But I also left Tyreek Hill off the board for MVP, which I still would leave a non-quarterback off the board. But on that team, we saw what was up last night. When he went out and he was banged up, they did not look very good.
No, he was out for 26 minutes. He went out, 3 minutes left in the first quarter, came back with 6 minutes left in the third. And during that span, Tua had a QBR of lower than 20. I think his QBR was 18. So it's not great. And that's the problem when it comes to how defenses play this Dolphins offense when number 10 is off the field. All of a sudden now, it's easier to double-team the speed that you have on the field when it comes to Jalen Waddle out wide and then Raheem Mostert, and it makes it easier to anticipate where Tua's going with the football. So Tyreek Hill opens up that entire offense, not just in the passing game, but also in the running game, provides them with a lot more balance. And when he's not 100%, we see what this Dolphins offense is, which is not very good. Now, the other concern I have about Miami is the fact that they can't find a way to close out games. I mean, they got the ball back with less than 3 minutes to go, and they're up by six, and you can't find a way to salt that game away. You can't run the football when it matters. Your four-minute offense leads to a three and out. That can't happen. Like, so when you can't run the ball when you absolutely have to, it makes it hard for me to trust that you can close out games against really good teams, let alone a team like the Tennessee Titans, who we know is going nowhere this season. So when you blow a 14-point lead with less than 4 minutes to go, how can I trust that you'll be able to hang on to a lead once we get to the postseason? You just can't. And that's the problem with this Dolphins team, and that's an indictment on the quarterback, Tua.
Yeah, they're in the no-trust zone for sure. They're definitely not in the trust tree. And moving forward, you're also concerned about the attrition you're seeing on the offensive line. They had three guys out last night. Connor Williams left in the first quarter because of an injury. And you're always concerned about protection for your quarterback and wear and tear on your quarterback, but especially with Tua and especially with Miami. So moving forward, that's certainly a storyline to keep an eye on.
We are on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Dr. Pepper call online. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the ones fans deserve. Will in Colorado, listening on 104.3. What's up, Will?
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
What's going on, Will?
Listen, I have an opinion about the Ohtani thing. It not only does it violate the actual spirit of what the MLB luxury tax is, The Padres offered Aaron Judge, was it last year or 2 years ago, what his free agency was? They were going to offer him $400 million for over 14 years, and MLB was ready to 100% knock that deal down.
Yeah, so this is where this whole thing is odd, because the luxury tax thing, like, they're not looking, and Buster Olney's going to join us later in the show, ESPN Baseball Insider. I don't believe they're going to count his salary as $2 million for luxury tax purposes.
Okay.
I believe that I saw that they're going to count it a little bit higher than that based on math and tax rules and everything like that I'm not smart enough to get into.
Sure.
But as long as they count it more than two, that's where, I guess, Smalls' argument that it should be illegal, it would have more weight in my opinion, because it's like, okay, you're skirting some of the rules and regulations around the luxury tax. But if they count it for more than two, which I think they are, what's the difference? Then you're fine.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with this. I'm never going to put a cap on how much players can get paid, and I don't care that owners are willing or have to pay a putative luxury tax because they want to spend, you know, upwards of $350 million in payroll. I'm all about it. I mean, the biggest problem, as I see it, when it comes to payroll in the sport, is the bottom feeder teams that don't want to spend over $100 million.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem. We all know that these franchises are like gold bars. They're valuable. Mm-hmm. They're making a lot of money.
Right.
Okay, and so for them not to go out and spend more than that, I think that's what's upsetting the competitive balance way more than these outlier teams that are spending, you know, north of $300 million.
Yeah, and I guess that's why I have an issue with this, is not because it's against the rules in any way, and it's Shohei Ohtani's right to defer this money. It's the Dodgers' right to have to worry about this bill at a later date because it's going to come due. But if they win World Series, in the meantime, what do they care? They're going to be generating more money. They get their ultimate goal. They'll figure out the money part whenever they need to. That's not a problem. But I guess to me, it's just a little disheartening as a fan of baseball that this is all happening with the Dodgers, who are already a great team. And then you're adding I don't even want to call him a once in a generation type player because he's so far beyond that. He's something that we've literally never seen before. And then you have the financial freedom to add more. It just feels like a bummer that the rich are going to continue to get richer. But I will say this, it does give us a very interesting storyline to watch because if they don't get it done, if you get Ohtani and then you have the financial flexibility to continue to add on top of Freeman and Betts and all the other great players that they have and you don't get it done, this is going to be like the Dallas Cowboys times 10. Like there is no excuse for the LA Dodgers to not win, not just one, but multiple World Series championships during this window.
It's great. It's great for the sport. We need villains. Nate in Iowa listening on the ESPN app. What's up, Nate?
Hey, good morning. I'd like to give a shout out to Smalls. I'm a huge Cardinals fan, I'm feeling the pain with the whole Dodgers pulling this move, but it's legal. Every July of every year, we throw the Bobby Bonilla card out there and throw some sign on him for what he'd done in the past. So, I mean, it's happened before.
Yes and no, though. Here's the thing. Yes and no. People bring this up about Bobby Bonilla was a player for the Mets, and in order to get rid of him, they deferred the money. That's the difference. This was to get someone, not to get rid of them. Normally, the deferral contracts you see are when you want to separate from somebody or move on. It's like, okay, well, we really don't want to pay you $20 million this year. Can we give you $2 million for each of them?
Yeah, it's kind of like the stretch provision in the NBA.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is different because Shohei Ohtani said this is how we're going to get this done. So it allows them to put a lot of other good players around him in the heart of his prime, but then also for him to maximize the value of this contract by not having to pay California state income tax.
Would you have ever done this if they are? If like,
oh, absolutely.
You would have.
Do you know where I played? I played in New York for 4 years.
So they offer you that contract, you would have lowered it as far as they would go. Still get paid today.
So even though technically the facility in the stadium is in New Jersey, the fact that we did our training camps in the state of New York at the University of Albany meant that for the month that we were in training camp in Albany, I had to pay the prorated portion of my salary to New York State.
Why wouldn't they just move training camp to Jersey?
Great question, Ev. That's a great freaking question. My tax account asks the same damn thing.
Well, our next
criminal.
That feels like a bad decision on their part.
It's a racket between the Giants and the state of New York. It's a racket.
Wow. Our next guest had a body part mentioned on the Manning cast last night. We will find out who and what next. It's on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Evan Canty and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
Could you blindfold and just have your hands under and tell who it is?
Yeah, 100%.
I could, yeah, for sure. I knew Jeff Saturday's butt cheeks as well as anybody. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think you ever want to you don't want to use blindfold and butt cheeks together very often. But
stop saying the word butt cheeks. Yeah. It's bothering me.
That is what happened last night on the Manning cast.
That's unsportsmanlike. That's how you crank it up this morning.
All right, Jeff Saturday. Peyton Manning said blindfolded, hands on your tuchus, he would know your butt cheeks. If the reverse happened, we went through a lineup, quarterbacks, hands on your butt, as a former center, would you be able to identify Peyton Manning's hands versus someone else's hands on your butt cheeks?
For sure. For sure. Yeah, I would. I know Manning. I know Manning's hands. Been there 13 years. It's a long time. And I'm awkward answering these questions right now. I don't like where we're
I don't know how you could have an answer that wasn't awkward with the question exactly. that Evan just
Evan
asked
set
you.
Me up on Sportsman like you know, Tuesday morning, 7:15, yeah, we're going. Yeah. Now you
great.
Know Manning loves that.
He of course
that,
he does.
That's why he does.
Of course
it.
He does, because he gets you twice.
Exactly.
He gets you coming and he gets you going.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now
exactly.
I have to transition
that's
from
right.
butt cheeks.
But I could ask a follow-up if you'd like.
No, but since we're speaking about butt cheeks, that's the Miami Dolphins in the final 5 minutes of that game on Monday Night Football.
Preach that.
I mean, that was absolutely awful. They got the ball back with less than 3 minutes to go. They went three and out, couldn't have run the ball when it matters. Now, Tua tried to downplay the importance of the loss. He said that the sky is not falling and season's not over. Curious from your perspective, was this a blip on the radar for the Dolphins, or was this an ominous sign of things to come?
It depends on Tyreek Hill. And so you know, if you look at when they have struggled, it is all based around Tyreek Hill and what teams have done to take him out of the game, you know, limit his productivity, however you want to frame it. The injury last night is scary because really in the last few weeks, he's kind of gotten nicked up a lot, right? Whether it's missing a few plays or, you know, kind of limping around. But he is the catalyst that makes this offense go. And so I would tell you I will be more concerned if this injury becomes a nagging deal for Hill because now Hunt was out, their offensive lineman Armstead was out, like so they had some issues up front to begin with. The Dolphins did. This to me will be if the Dolphins don't get the one seed, I think the one seed for them is vital, right? Not only the week off, but playing in Miami through the AFC play would be enormous, especially for the way their offense runs. This will be the game they look back. I don't care if you think the sky is falling or not. Not for playoffs, but for your productivity in the playoffs. I think this will be the circle game that you gave away. Like you gave it away. Had no business. The Titans had no business beating you in this game. You know what I mean? And they unfortunately don't close the game out. They got to.
Off of that, Jeff, when you look at the AFC and you look at the teams that we're considering to be Super Bowl contenders, how big of a gap is it between the Ravens and then the next team you'd put in that category?
Not very big. I mean, listen, and the Ravens fans have blasted me. Here's my issue with the Ravens. They've had one game, and that was this week. They've had one game where in the final couple minutes the game is tight that they've closed out. And that is – and they did a heck of a job against the Rams. You know, hats off. Lamar Jackson played lights out. Like, he has had an incredible season. This is not a slight on one player, and everybody feels like you're attacking. But as a team, they don't do a great job of closing games out. And that, listen, in the playoffs, that's what it all comes down to. Everybody is so close. Games are going to get tight. It's going to be just like last night, right? Like, you had two teams that had no business or shouldn't have been in games, but they play it till it's late. They find the final drive. It's five plays. It's whatever. And the Ravens for me, so although I have them, you know, as the highest-ranked AFC team, it's not – you know, whether they play Miami, listen, do you want to go if Kansas City catches and wins four in a row? That's who you want. Their defense is legit, right? That's who you're going to want to run into. Like, all of these teams to me could get hot, including Buffalo, that would tell you, wow, like, you know, there is no shoe-in on the AFC, in my opinion.
Talk with Jeff Saturday, ESPN NFL analyst here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You'll see him on Get Up, 8 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. Did the Titans have their franchise quarterback?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm way early on saying that. I mean, listen, he's a tough kid. Like, you see him playing tough last night. He's not going to play a long career in NFL playing like that. Like putting your shoulder down, trying to take on
Zach Sealer.
Yeah. The next play, like you're
he
like
did
man,
run a couple of guys over though.
Yeah, which I'm all for. And you can do that at 23, right? At 28 and 5, you can't do that anymore, right? And so, yeah. I mean, I love the kid's moxie. I think he plays tough. I think he plays very similar to like what Vrabel wants that team to look like. That type of attitude. As far as like long term, I think you know you have a lot of football to play, man. And so he's again. I mean, he found ways to win, but this team had They got a lot of work to do to be a continuous, you know, AFC powerhouse, in my opinion.
Jeff, did the game this past weekend in Arrowhead between the Bills and the Chiefs tell us more about Buffalo or Kansas City?
Oh, that's a great question. You know what? I would say tell me more about Buffalo. Like Buffalo, their back's against the wall, right? Like, they're out of the play. They lose. I think they're out of the playoffs. You know what I mean? And they go into KC. They play the way they do. They find a way to win, whether you love the call, hate the call, whatever all that nonsense is. At the end of the day, man, like, Josh Allen found a way. This defense found a way. And so I thought that was a huge win for the Buffalo Bills. I think that cannot go overstated how big a win this was, because this, to me, would have – you know, it would have parked the Bills' chance. So it was a big win for them.
Do the Bills have a chance? I know this is going to sound crazy. Do they have a chance at winning the AFC East?
No. I think Miami's got – no, I think Miami should cruise to this thing. I think the Bills have – you know, they got the Cowboys right this week, isn't that right? They got the so they have some – they got a tough slate.
So do the Dolphins.
The Dolphins have got after the Jets, they play the Cowboys on the road against the Ravens, and then Buffalo week 18.
Yeah, and so they're two games. Miami's two games ahead right now,
but
right?
Buffalo beat them head to head.
Right, so they got, you know, it's like a. I just don't think Miami loses that many games on the walkout. That's my issue with them. But listen, if the Bills get in the playoffs, Josh Allen scares. I don't care who you are, man. That Josh Allen scares you. As a, it don't matter. That dude has done some amazing things, and he will get any team nervous if they make it in.
Speaking of the Cowboys, they beat the Eagles this weekend. Back-to-back losses for the Eagles to two quality opponents in the Cowboys and the 49ers. But, Jeff, do you have any concerns about this Eagles team?
I have concerns. I'm not in panic mode. I mean, here's my thing. I hear everybody saying, hey, this is, I heard, I think it was RC yesterday talking about this, a two-horse race. I disagree. Like if you want to say it was a one-horse race, okay, I can see if everybody's like all in on San Fran. But San Fran lost three in a row, right? Like the Cowboys got, but like all these teams have some sort of flaw. And for me, the Eagles are about to have a fairly favorable schedule, right? They got the Giants twice. I know the Giants won last night, but like they got the Giants twice. Like, this team should be favored to win four in a row. You go into the playoffs winning four in a row and you kind of find a rhythm. They've beaten some really good teams, y'all. Like, this is not a team who hasn't beaten anybody. They've played the best in the NFL. And other than San Fran, like, really getting after them and then playing poor against the Cowboys, like, this team has beaten some good ones. And so I do not eliminate the – I think the Eagles have gotten away for who they are. They need to be a running football team, and that includes Jalen Hurts in the running game. Stop thinking that you have to be a, you know, a drop back. Let's throw that thing around. Let's let A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith be our guy. Like, I think all that comes in spurts, but they got to be a physical team first. That will help their defense, who can't get off the field. There's a lot of things they're doing. They miss Shane Steichen, the head coach of the Colts now.
No doubt.
They miss that dude. And two new coordinators is tough anyway, but they have the personnel and the mentality. They just got to put this thing together.
It's not often we can get somebody whose body part was discussed on the Manning Cast in studio like we had today with Jeff Saturday and his butt cheeks. You'll get to see him more.
Okay.
8 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Unsportsmanlike.
Yes,
really
on Get Up on the flag. With Greeny. Coming up, could the number one pick in the NFL draft actually get traded again? We'll talk about that next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com for more information. We're going to get to the Bears conversation in just a couple of minutes. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you, and joining us in studio, Dominic Foxworth. This is what I have to tell you. CeCe comes in this morning, and I had not seen you yet, and he says, I think we're going to have Dom on. I was like, really?
No, you didn't. You weren't that excited. You see me all the time.
No, he wasn't that excited.
I didn't think it was you. Right. I thought it was the security guy.
Oh. You thought it was Dom DeSandro from the Eagles.
I got so excited. Well, now, I happen to love having you on. You've been on a couple of times, and you've been great.
Don't try to butter me up now. When I walked in this morning, I saw Michelle, and I was like, you look great. And then I saw Chris. I was like, what's up, Chris? I'm so happy to see you. And then Chris said, you want to come on the show? And I just knew that Evan was going to show up in his finest duds. But no, you dress like a stepdad, and I don't appreciate that. Michelle came in here with a leather skirt and snakeskin boots.
I did, yeah.
And you got on a half zip that I don't even got a zipper.
It don't got a zip.
Oh, there's a zip. You hiding the zipper. This is unacceptable.
I thought day after Manning cast, you're supposed to wear the quarter zip. No. Dominique Foxworth, would you like to interview Dom the security guy? Would that be interesting to you?
Nah.
No?
You think that's going to be a good interview?
You don't think so?
He's the head of security. He's trained to not say anything. It's not going to be fun.
I would love to talk to him off air about some of the stories with the players, though.
Yeah, That's a different story.
Oh, okay. Far more interesting.
Wait a second. You just led me down a path for the two of you. Is there someone off air that would be more interesting to talk to, part of a football team, than a security person?
No. There's nobody more interesting. They know all the stories.
They know the secrets.
They're normally ex-police officers, and sometimes they got a relationship where if something starts to bubble up. I've been in a couple cities where stuff went down that never hit the papers and I will never talk about except to Chris Canty off air. But the police officers know about all of the dirt.
Yeah, the best stories you need permission from other people to tell.
Yeah.
Those are oftentimes the best stories.
And the head of security has all of those.
Head of security has got all of that. Dom, looking at Monday Night Football last night, I know we'll get to the results for Titans-Dolphins, but dirty play by Sean Murphy Bunton tackling Tyreek Hill, or are you okay with it?
I mean, I don't want anyone to get hurt. However, when you're playing football and it's as hard as it is for defenders, you tackle guys any way you can tackle them. It didn't strike me as a dirty tackle right there. I see how people say, well, he grabbed the back of his collar. Trust me, if I get my hands on Tyreek Hill, I'm not letting go. I don't care where my hand ends up, and I'm not going to try to hurt him, but I'm going to grab and hold on as tight as possible. The funny thing is, like, the horse collar thing is relatively new, and I guess Sean Murphy Bunting's a younger guy, so maybe it's not new to him. But I can't imagine if I was playing, then all of a sudden it's like, you can't tackle this way. I've been tackling this way my whole life. In the heat of the moment, I'm not that calm or sophisticated a football player to be thinking through these sorts of things. No, I'm small. I'm going to get your big ass on the ground by any means necessary. And if it comes with 15 yards, it comes with 15 yards. But I'm not going to let you out of my hands. Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
Nah. Mm-mm.
Well, speaking of Tyreek Hill, we know his value to the Dolphins, but when he's not on the field, it's very blatant how important he is to this team. When you look at the Dolphins moving forward, do you really consider them to be a Super Bowl contender or a team that can be disruptive in the playoffs?
The way the AFC looks, then it's hard to say that they're out. As it was an ugly loss last night, but everyone has those throughout the season. As long as Tyreek Hill is healthy, they can score. Mm-hmm. I would assume they can score with anybody. They can challenge just about anybody. And their defense wasn't great last night, but we know they have the capability of being really good. So, yeah, I think they could find themselves in the Super Bowl. I wouldn't bet on them over the field, but there's nobody in the AFC. The Ravens, I think, are probably the best team in the AFC, but they find a way last year to the Dolphins. They find a way to make these games that aren't supposed to be close a little close at the end, and did it again last weekend.
Dominique Foxworth joining us. Of course, you got his show Monday, Wednesday, Friday, ESPN's YouTube page. He'll be a part of Get Up and First Take, 8 a.m., 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN, here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. The most interesting part of Tommy DeVito, his play, his family, or his agent?
His agent. I mean, I was laughing this morning with Jeff Saturday because I was thinking, Jeff's from Georgia, he's very Georgia. If you spend any time with Jeff Saturday,
he is so
Georgia. And I was like, hey, Jeff, if I asked you or some of your friends you grew up with to draw a picture of an Italian guy from New Jersey, would it look exactly like Tommy DeVito's agent? And he was like, yes. And that's just the hilarity of being the exact stereotype is, I mean, I don't know. That's the best part of it. Does he dress like that normally, or is he playing a character?
No, they're all playing the character. I don't want to say 15 minutes of fame because that's insulting to Tommy DeVito, but they are more. He is more famous now than maybe he ever will be. So I think his entire crew around him is leaning into it. Why not?
They are great performers.
I mean, the dad and the agent kissing in the stands.
The fact that he's an NFL player is still staying at his parents' house, though. He's still staying
he's
at his mama's house.
The cutlets are there for him.
Is it at a point now where he can't move out, i.e. Anthony Davis can't shave the brow, James Harden can't shave the beard, Tommy DeVito lives there forever now?
No. I'm a grown-ass man. I'm the quarterback of the New York Giants. I need my own space.
I will pass this little bit of advice on to young Tommy. He's not going to be the quarterback of a football team, the starting quarterback of a football team for very long. There are some benefits that come with being the starting quarterback of a football team that are harder to cash in on your mama's house. So if you got to get you a little apartment, you got to rent it, you got to go into debt, I'm telling you, brother, 10 years from now, when you are no longer the quarterback, you are going to wish that you had access to those benefits.
You know, something tells me Tommy DeVito, he knows a guy.
He knows a guy.
He knows a guy that can get him an apartment.
It might be his agent. His agent strikes me as the one that's
got
a guy.
I got a guy that's got an apartment.
But Dom, we got the report before the Monday night game from Adam Schefter that the New York Giants are going to do their due diligence on this class of quarterbacks coming out in 2024. Should the Giants be looking into drafting a quarterback high next year, or should they continue to stay the course with what we've seen from Daniel Jones and now this year with Tommy DeVito?
You know the answer. You ask me questions, you know the answer.
No, I'm asking the question because I don't know how to feel about the three-game winning streak that they're having. Because in my eye, the wins feel like losses right now because the draft pick is getting lower and lower. So you tell me that I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I would never advocate for losing on purpose or tanking. Like, I think the culture of the organization matters too much. So they should be fighting to win, but best case scenario is they end up with one of those quarterbacks, because I think we all know by the contract that they offered to Daniel Jones, they suggest to us that they didn't think he was a long-term answer. And Tommy DeVito, maybe he's going to turn into something, but it's so rare that you get a Brock Purdy late in the draft. Like, it's just it's hard to bank on it. They're seeing him every day in practice. Maybe they see something that I don't see, but chances are you're better off if you can get the top of that draft getting one of those guys. But nobody succeeds in the NFL without a supporting cast. So if they haven't built that up, which they haven't really built up a great team around any of these quarterbacks up until this point. So they're in a tough situation, but it at least seems like they're fighting. And Brian Daboll, while he was had a rough start to the season, they've found a way to
– They got a head coach.
They found a way to have something to believe in and something to build on.
A lot of that could be said about the Chicago Bears. We kind of left them for dead, and they're showing signs of life. A big win this weekend over the Detroit Lions. One of them, neither of them, or both of them are part of the Bears' future. Matt Eberflus, Justin Fields.
Neither. Yeah, I don't think so. I think, again, what Eberflus has done in the last couple of weeks, the defense, and Justin Fields is encouraging, but I see them bringing in a new quarterback and probably trying to find an offensive-minded head coach to pair with him. I think that's probably the direction that they go. And Justin Fields is doing nothing. They're in a situation where they're going to have the number one overall pick no matter what, because it's going to be the Panthers' pick. And Justin Fields is increasing his value, which is good for this team. I don't think that they stick with Eberflus, given what they've done so far. The defense hasn't been great, and he's the defensive-minded head coach.
Talking with fashion expert, real estate agent, and former player Dominique Foxworth here on
ESPN. I would buy a house for me.
I think you did. As somebody that ran the Players Association in the NFL for a while, how do you view what's going on with Ohtani in baseball? Does it affect other players positively or negatively?
I mean, anytime you get big numbers out there, it makes everybody feel good, that benchmark. The deferred money thing, like, I think that's a tough situation. When the money gets that big, I think finding new ways, innovative ways to be comfortable with paying these contracts, I think is good for the players. Anytime you can find some other way to get access to this money, because I think what the Dodgers are saying is, we don't got it right now, but we're good for it. And I mean, I think that's fine. As long as the players are comfortable with it, it's a new alternative for them to get up into the $700 million. That's a whole
$700 million. That's a whole lot of money.
I can't even say it with a straight face. I'm so happy for him. I don't know him. I never met him. But anytime people get paid, oh, I just get so excited.
Yeah, Cousin Dak is in line for a contract. Ooh, not like Otani, but something like, he's going to get some money now. I mean, might not be 70, it could be $60 million a year. But Don, before we let you get out of here, what happened at the end of the Chiefs-Bills game, the play, obviously Kadarius Toney being offsides. Pat Mahomes had a lot of say about it. Where do you fall in terms of what happened, the call, and the fallout from it?
You broke the rules. It's hard for you to then be upset about it, but I thought what Orlovsky did the other day and found yesterday, he found all the plays where Toney was offsides throughout the course of the game. It's an interesting spot to be in because you're saying, no, I broke the rules all game, so why stop now? So it's a weird argument to make, but I do understand the position in that as a defensive back, at a certain point throughout the first half, first quarter of the game, we get an understanding of how much we're going to get away with today. And it'd be very weird for them to let us get away with it here, let us get away with a little extra grabbing, and then all of us, and not say anything to us. Because right. What ends up happening is they'll let us get away with some stuff in the first quarter, but the refs will come over and say, hey, you're getting a little handsy. I'm going to have to call it. And then I know to chill out. So for them not to do that for Kadarius Toney, like, it sucks, but if you're, I can say that, but you can't say it after the Chiefs, because it's weird to be like, hey, but you let me steal all these times. Why didn't you let me steal this last time? Like, it's a tough place to make the argument, but I certainly understand that the rules change. You think about it for, like, the play clock, where you're like, all right, they let him get to zero a lot of times. Mm-hmm. It'd be really odd for them to let him get to zero, and then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter on the final drive, the most important drive of the game, they're like, oh, this time we're going to throw it. It's uncomfortable, but you're breaking the rules.
You're 1,000% right. It is weird. The defense is, I was offsides all game. Yeah. That's the defense. Dominique Foxworth's amazing. You'll see him on Get Up.
I'm going to take you shopping.
Well, today's a bad day for me.
Nah, it's awful. Today, it's like, don't call me Evan, call me Dad. Okay. Nah, I'm not with that.
I think that's from the Kirk Cousins collection.
Am I not normally? I feel like normally I'm a fashion icon, but I guess today's not the day.
I just decided I wanted to roast you. That's all.
That's okay. Coming up, we will have him over it, like what Dom is with my outfit. But first, CC has this from Vivid Seats. Hoodie season forever now. That's it. I'm done.
Bowl season, basketball, hockey, and pro football are all in action, and Vivid Seats has it all for you and all your ticket gifting needs this holiday season. See every one-timer, every touchdown, every dunk live and in person with great deals on great seats. Plus, with Vivid Seats Rewards, you earn rewards with every purchase. They're here for us fans, offering unbeatable rewards like surprise seat upgrades, free tickets, annual birthday discounts, and more. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. ESPN2, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Each and every day, our producer, Pat Costello, gives us things that annoy him, that bother him, that he's over. Pat, what are you over today?
Michelle, I think this one might speak to you a little bit, okay. And maybe you can help me out here. The fact that headboards are such an important thing to people blows me away. I don't get what they're for. Is it just for decoration? They're such a waste of money. I can use that money for so many better things. Like this headboard, there's a headboard drama going on the internet, and I cannot understand it.
Hold on. What are we talking about?
What's a headboard drama happening on the internet?
Like, you got to fill me in.
Yeah, well, a headboard on a bed.
It's basically like if dudes don't have headboards, then, you know, it's a big red flag.
And yeah, I my can't wife get said why. That. My wife
don't
said that.
Yeah. Kind of is.
It is?
Yeah.
Please speak on that, Smalls.
It just feels like you're really not a grown-up if you don't have a proper bed. It feels like you're still in the college mode where you're like, oh, I have a mattress and a blanket, and I eat ramen for dinner.
Well,
you know,
in Pat's
it's just
case,
a sign of maturity that you have the full bed set.
Pat.
That is Pat. Like, we know that's Pat. Like, he's got action figures in the middle of his living room.
But I didn't know where Pat was going on this, but now I understand it a little bit more because I was thinking about this as you guys were talking. My daughter, we just got a different bed for her. She's 7. And I'm like, all right, cool. And my wife's like, what do you mean cool? There's another part of it. I said, what other part? She goes, we have to have the headboard in there, and you got to bring that in. I'm like, really? Like, there's a wall there. She needs a headboard? I guess that's a thing. I do understand it, though, from a guy's perspective. Because if you're a single guy, you want to give off the vibe, regardless of who you're interested in, of I'm put together, my apartment or house is nice, I care about that. You do want to give off that vibe, whether it's true or not.
Yeah, I didn't have a headboard in college. Safe to say I had one once I got to the NFL. I don't think much changed in terms of my maturity, so I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, but if you don't have a headboard, your head can hit the wall. At least it's a protective barrier.
Hit the wall to do
a self-protective barrier. Okay.
I don't know what's going on over there, but all right.
We got pillows.
I think you do know what's going on. I think you do understand. It's not that complicated, Ev.
I know, but
it's not that complicated.
Coming from Smalls. Hey, now. All right.
Not even. Wow. I'm just saying.
Wow.
I'm just saying you prop your pillow up against the wall.
What's wrong with that?
No. You need a
headboard. There's no way I had a headboard in college. No chance.
So you just turn around and walk it right out.
Self-reporting. I do not have a headboard.
You don't currently?
I do not have a headboard.
I didn't think you did.
A great apartment. My apartment looks fantastic right now, decorated and stuff. Don't have a headboard. Unnecessary.
Yeah, but the indication that I think that everybody's giving you is you think you have a great apartment because of your assessment. Is there another person that has ever assessed that apartment?
Not outside of my family.
You know what
no.
I think? I will say this. Another thing that I think is weird, some people will have the headboard that's fastened to the wall, but not the bed. I don't understand
is that
why.
The bed moves, but the headboard doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That doesn't really make sense. That's weird, too. I've seen, like, I don't want to feel like I'm out on an island with this one, but I've seen people have headboards that are fastened to the wall, but it's not connected to the bed. And so I'm like, what's the point of having this?
Yeah, that's bizarre. Where are you guys at on like the footboard? Because sometimes it's a headboard and a face.
I'm too tall to have that footboard.
Yeah, I'm too tall.
I need to be able to have my legs dangling, man. I'm too tall to have a footboard.
I'll give you one other thing.
I can't do that.
End of the bed.
I can't do that.
It happens in hotels. Stop tucking in the end of the bed so tight.
Oh, man.
It is the most annoying thing in the world.
That is a civil war in the Canty household
because my wife insists
on tucking in the sheets and the comforter at the end of the bed.
Aesthetically, what you need to do.
I can't sleep like that. I can't sleep like that, Smalls. It disrupts my sleep. I feel like I'm in a damn straitjacket.
Well, you don't have to sleep like that. You can undo it.
But she wants to sleep like that. She wants us to fall asleep like that with the comforter and the sheet tucked in at
like
the end.
Like a cocoon?
Yeah, exactly. She wants me to be swaddled, and I'm a grown damn man.
That's terrible.
I hate it.
I agree. Totally agree.
I like it tucked in on the bottom. I like my weighted blanket. I'm with Mel. I want to be in a little sleep cocoon.
That's why I'm there. I can cocoon her. It's called spooning. It's what I do.
What?
Spoon are you, greater than cocoon?
That's what you do. Are you okay, rank Chris
Canty. I'm 6'8", 350 pounds, okay?
Yeah,
I'm not impressing anybody with my physique.
Can I say something?
But I'm warm, especially in the wintertime.
I appreciate that you would like to be the human cocoon for your wife.
Yes.
I imagine, though, that you sleep heavily. Like most dudes, when they're out, they sleep heavily.
I'm not.
If you are spooning her and she's uncomfortable, she can't really move you off of her. So she may be trapped.
Okay, but I have a question.
That's a fair point.
I have another question.
If she needs to break free, she cannot.
I'm smothering my wife.
But we're smothered with a tuck-in sheet at the end. That's the thing.
You can move the sheet.
No, but it's a battle.
You understand? I'm going to try. 350, whatever you are. I can't do that.
Here's what it is.
I'm trapped.
It's small. I'm standing up. You get there and you're literally
ripping it
apart. My wife needs life alert.
We're ripping it apart.
Help.
It's terrible.
Get him off me.
Cece, I need you to rank these three things. You got to rank it. Three things in your life.
What's up?
Spooning, broadcasting, playing football. Rank from best to worst. You said you were made to spoon.
Ooh, ah.
Give us your
pay. Are we talking about now or are we talking about?
I know you're not playing now.
Exactly, okay.
In your prime, as a spooner.
I'm going to say football one.
Okay.
Spooning right underneath it.
Whoa.
And then broadcasting.
So what you're saying is in your prime as a spooner, you're better than as a broadcaster.
I'll spoon the hell out of my wife. Yeah.
Okay.
Great spooner.
CC and I will be spooning in the next segment.
No, we won't neither. No, we won't neither.
Okay,
no, we won't. No, we won't neither. I ain't spooning with you. No, 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 no.
Rob?
We don't want people to get the wrong idea on this show.
That went so well.
No, 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 no. That's beyond unsportsmanlike. If I had two flags, I'd throw them right now.
You know, I didn't expect on a Tuesday us to be talking about Jeff Saturday's butt cheeks and us spooning. Like, yeah. What a turn of events.
Oh, I didn't expect you to be giving headboard advice. I got to be honest on that one.
That's a great point. I didn't see that one coming in this fall.
That's more surprising than the Ohtani deferral.
You took it wrong.
We took it right.
I don't know.
We took it right. You just realized you said it after the fact.
I don't know if I appreciate your phrasing on that one.
I'm just saying, you know, if you're like moving around at night and you are adjusting your pillow, mm-hmm. maybe, and then you hit the wall.
Let it go, Smalls. Let it go. Just let it go.
What happened in this segment?
Pat, you started us off with headboards. Where did you think it was going to go?
I said I don't like headboards, and it ended with you and Evan spooning.
No, we didn't. No, it didn't end there. No, stop saying that, Pat.
He's
we
a
are not spooning.
We've
never spooned. We'll never spoon.
Evan
it's
and Casey
not going
to
happen.
Next.
Evan
no,
wants to
it's
be the
not
big
next.
Too.
It's not. Stop.
We already did it. So
goodness.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.